Chapter 2, The Ingredients of Endurance. As we liken our completed faith to a recipe to which we must add many ingredients, the first ingredient we will discuss is endurance. Hebrews 6:15 says, "And so, after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Why must I wait? How am I able to wait and endure? The word endurance in Greek is makrothumeo, which means long-suffering, patience, to undergo heat or suffering for a long time. Many people will be very disappointed at some future date if they do not take this enduring process seriously and with God's mind. I submit that there are two main reasons for this enduring process. One has to do with you, the changing of you. The other has to do with others and His kingdom. I believe fewer believers would give up during the enduring process if they would realize the responsibility, the heavy responsibility, that God has entrusted to them for eternal matters. How can I wait long enough when my patience to inherit the promises of God seems to be lacking? Long-suffering is a part of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, which means that Jesus inside of you has the patience needed. That is grace, or a gift for which you did not work, a free gift. You just need to be emptied, reach the end of yourself, and let Him take over. He will. The writer of Hebrews warns us that if we become sluggish, we may not inherit the promise that God has given us by faith. Hebrews 6:11 through 20 says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The anchor of the soul is dug into the very presence of God. Once you have gone into God's presence, your anchor is fixed. His character and His power will provide the patience you lack. If you have obtained faith, a promise or reassurance by a personal touch, or encounter with God through the Word and the Holy Spirit, then your anchor is fixed in solid ground, the very presence of God. Why does God have us go through this endurance time in order to obtain what He promised? We are warned many times in Scripture that we will have to suffer and endure the trials and testing of faith. I would like to offer four principal reasons that I have found in Scripture and in my life's experience for this time of enduring. First, to lack nothing. James 1, 2-4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." How would you like to lack nothing? Keep that hope and vision in your mind and heart as you're going through trials. What a great goal, the abundant life. Second, character. To have our character developed for God's work and glory. The process described in Romans 5 is like a potter who is forming a clay pot. Romans 5, 1-5 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." We are told that tribulations produce perseverance, which is a similar word to endurance. Perseverance produces character, which produces hope, And hope keeps us from being disappointed during our enduring times, because, as it says, we are a vessel whom the Holy Spirit fills. While the pot is on the potter's wheel, it is soft clay. If water were poured into the pot while it is soft, it would not hold the substance. Then the potter fires the pot, or puts it into a very hot furnace that makes it complete. Then the pot can hold a substance and be of great value. Romans 5:5 says that we are containers for the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must go through the fires of life, enduring them in order to be vessels fit to contain the Holy Spirit for valuable work. Our character is shaped, and God can give us more assignments for His glory. Third, receiving the full salvation or healing of our souls. God wants His character to be stamped on us. The Greek root of the word character means to imprint. Our suffering imprints the suffering Savior on us. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Matthew 24:13. The Strong's Concordance defines saved as saved, to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue one from danger or destruction from injury or peril. 1 Peter 1:6-9 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Fourth, to possess the kingdom of God through warfare. Daniel 7:21-22 says, "I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom." We often feel that during these times of trials, endurance and testing of our faith, that it is all about us. While there is a truth embedded in that, it is not entirely true. Some of it has to do with what God is working in us, and some of it has to do with the kingdom of God and the church. Surprise! Enduring is much bigger than you may think, and there is a much bigger prize. It has to do with reigning with Him. We will talk more about this topic in the next lesson titled Running the Race. The next chapter will deal with the prize, the crown. When we realize that our endurance, our race, is about more than just us, and that it carries more responsibility than we first realized, the power to endure comes easier. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." Let history be your teacher. Looking back at history, one can see that all people who succeeded in almost any endeavor, who made a great contribution to society and the kingdom of God, had that one quality in common, and that being endurance. They persevered. Many years ago, I read a book by a man who devoted his life to study the most successful people who had lived in recent history. He found only one common trait in them, which was that they all had succeeded right after failure or apparent failure. Circumstances and the satanic world will always try to discourage you and convince you to quit enduring. Remember this: with God, if you don't quit, you will win. The surprise is revealed in the next lesson. It's all about running the race.